Happy New Year. No, I haven't gone crazy, and I do know what date it is. But one of the joys of being part of a liturgical church like this is that we get to follow the church calendar. And today is the New Year's of the Christian calendar. So we live according to a different understanding of time. You could call it Christian time if you want. So today, we can wish each other Happy New Year's, just as Charles did. If you get the liturgical customary, he wished that to us. I have the privilege today to be able to preach and introduce Advent, which is a highly guarded slot, let me tell you. Just kidding, Jay. Today we begin again the journey through Advent, Christmas, when we celebrate Jesus' birth, Epiphany, when we rejoice that he is revealed, Lent, when we walk with him to the cross, Easter, when we celebrate his resurrection, and Ordinary Time, which we just left, which is when we deepen and we grow in faith. So we've come full cycle from last year. Even though we're in a different place in our lives now than we were last year at this time, think for a minute about where you were last year, this past year, and everything that God has led us through, you through. And give thanks for that. And now look ahead to the new year. It's a new start, a chance for renewal and new growth. Now, I know some of us here, it's maybe your first Advent as part of a liturgical church. So let me tell you, you're in for a treat. I love Advent. You might notice there's some changes around you today. We got the greens, symbolizing new life. We have new colors, this color of blue, symbolizing royalty. You'll notice that we don't have our sanctuary decorated in traditional Christmas colors, and there's a reason for that. You notice there's changes in the music, and as Jay mentioned, the confession was at the beginning. There's reasons for that, too. So we're in a new season of Advent, a season of waiting, of longing, of preparing ourselves to celebrate Jesus' birth, of looking forward to when Christ shall come again. I grew up in a Baptist church that did celebrate Advent to some extent. We used an Advent wreath in church. We sang a candle lighting song each week, which I still remember. My dad was the music minister. I probably had to know it. We had Advent calendars, and my brother and I would fight over which one of us got to open the little window and eat the chocolate each day. But in our church, we also sang Christmas songs during December. We had a full-fledged Christmas tree in the sanctuary, and we probably talked about the Christmas story, maybe even out of Luke. What's wrong with that, you might say? Well, nothing's wrong with that, but that's not Advent. As you look around today, you might be startled even by the things that you don't see. There's no Christmas tree. We're not going to sing Christmas songs, not for a little while. Not going to talk about the Christmas story for a little while. And what kind of church really reads about the apocalypse during the Christmas season? Mayans aside, I guess. Well, it's a church that desires to enter into the season of Advent without rushing forward to Christmas. A church desiring to live according to a different rhythm of life. One of the blogs I read this week on this topic put it very nicely. I'm going to read a long-ish quote from that. Knowing the inevitability of time's endless rhythm, a few wise old souls many, many years ago decided to order time in a certain discernible pattern. A pattern that echoed the even more ancient Jewish cycles of worship and prayer, but markedly different. The Christian calendar would become a way of ordering time, centering on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And its rhythm would hold the very real potential of ordering our lives according around his story, so much so that we might be able to relinquish our need to somehow control time or relax our fear of running out of time. What if your story was somehow ordered by a larger story? This is still the quote. What if you could relinquish the frantic need to master time and relax into a more sacred rhythm? What if this season of Advent could mark a renewal in your life, a renewal of your time? This week, the Christian calendar begins with the season of Advent, the beginning of our Christian calendar year. We begin our year by laying down the many futile ways in which we mark and master time. Interestingly, the wise men and women who arranged this Christian calendar begin Advent with biblical texts about the second coming of Jesus, like, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near." It's fitting, if you think of it. Exhausted by our need to master time, particularly at this busy time of year, we're reminded that we need a rescuer, a savior who will set all things right, restoring and reordering a disordered world and our disordered souls. In Advent, we anticipate and long for God to renew our lives. That's good news, the good news. That's the end of the quote. That idea of sacred time, that when we enter into Advent, we act counterculturally. We choose to slow down rather than to give in to the frantic pace of the holiday season. We choose to order our time according to the great story, not in a legalistic way. I'm not going to condemn you if you're wearing red today. Not a legalistic way, but in ways that allow God to work in our lives in a deep and rich way. And so today I'd like to offer up for us some ways in which we can enter into Advent more fully this season. Ways in which we can open ourselves up to God and, as the collect for today puts it, cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, for those of us who've been around church a while, knowledge of Scripture and knowledge about God is not what we lack. We're full of that. It's the follow-through that's hard. We are changed and renewed only as we encounter the living God. That's what we've been walking through in Core at 9, in this wonderful series about encountering God. So today, I guess you could call it Encountering God Through Advent. Some ideas about how to open our lives to encounter God in this time of year. I'm going to talk about 7 things I recommend that we cast off during Advent and 7 things to embrace. Yes, 7 points. It is a holy number, after all. We won't talk too long about each one, don't worry. So first of all, this Advent, let us put off impatience and embrace waiting. Waiting is a big theme during Advent, and it's also something we don't like very much, do we? I certainly don't. I get cranky in traffic and in long lines. I get frustrated if a book I want to read now is not available in Kindle format. And lately, my impatience comes out most clearly when I'm walking my dog, Chewy, who has featured in quite a few of my sermons. He's a border collie, a wonderful dog. So when I walk Chewy, he goes to every single tree and every single bush and wants to take like 10 minutes to sniff that one tree and then move on to the next one. I get so frustrated. Even this week I started giving him a countdown, which he probably doesn't understand, but it makes me feel a little better. So our culture certainly doesn't value waiting very much, does it? Think about how Black Friday is now encroaching into Thanksgiving Day. And if you've worked in food service for any period of time, you know that there are people that don't like to wait. But as Christians during Advent, we are to wait. So that raises the question, what are we waiting for? In the Old Testament, after the fall, Scripture is full of waiting. Waiting for the one who would crush the serpent's head. Waiting for the one who would restore the line of King David. Waiting for the one who would bring Israel back from exile and save her from the nations. That was not a waiting without hope. Look at the passage from Jeremiah that we read today. The Lord declares to Jeremiah that he will fulfill the good promise he made to Israel, that he will restore his people and rescue them from their oppressors. And we too enter into this waiting as we wait for the coming of our Savior Jesus, a baby born in Bethlehem. So Jesus came, but Jesus Messiah didn't usher in the renewal of all things the way people expected, the way his disciples expected. I think of this sort of like when you're driving in a place with lots of mountains. If you're coming from a flat land, as you approach the mountains, it looks like they're all in a row, all in the same line. But as you get closer, you discover that some of these mountains are a lot further away than you thought. They turn into these layers. I think that's what happens in Scripture sometimes. The further off you are, the more it looks like the fulfillment will happen all at once. But when we arrive at the New Testament, we realize that some things are still a little further away. We are still waiting. Still waiting for Christ to come again, for God to renew all things, for God's will to truly and fully be done here on earth as it is in heaven. I'd like to share a story I read this week from another blogger, Mark Roberts, on this topic of waiting. He says, a few years ago, I was waiting in a long line at the Costco in Irvine, California. In spite of my best efforts to find the shortest line, of course I ended up in the slowest moving line of all. We've had that happen, right? As I stood there, I could feel my blood pressure rising. The more I waited, the more frustrated I became. Words I never say, well, almost never, filled my mind, and I'm not referring to happy holidays. Then all of a sudden, it dawned on me. I had one of these moments of grace in which God managed to slip a word into my consciousness. As I stood in that slow-moving line at Costco, I was waiting. Waiting. In a way, I was experiencing exactly what Advent is all about. Of course, I wasn't waiting for God to save me or anything momentous like that. I was simply waiting to get out of that store so I could go home. But nevertheless, I was waiting. I was forced to experience something that's at the very heart of Advent. When I read this story, I wanted to go, yes, I can do that. Let's let our experiences of waiting during this Advent season point us toward what we are truly waiting for, the coming of Christ. When you're waiting in line, meditate on Advent and marvel at how the Lord can meet you in that unexpected place. And you can know that I'm trying to do the same thing as I walk my dog. So put off impatience and embrace waiting. Secondly, and related to that, in this Advent, let us cast off consumption and embrace holy longing. We know consumption. It's all around us. We're probably less familiar with longing, at least with staying with that longing for very long. But both of these things, consumption and longing, have to do with desire. See, it's possible to wait for something we don't really want, but we long for things that we want deeply. What do we desire? What do we desire during this season? Presents? Just getting our shopping done? Christmas cookies? See, consumerism tells us that if we want something, we should take it, devour it even. But in Advent, we can reorient our desires. Allow ourselves to long for something that is not yet fully present. Renewal of ourselves, renewal of all things. We can allow ourselves to not just wait for Christ's coming, but to long for it. That's why we take time during Advent, as we do in Lent, to reflect and to repent, to feel deeply that we need a Savior, to feel the truth that we need that renewal and forgiveness and peace. One way that we can enter into this holy longing is to not get to Christmas too quickly, to allow even our longing for Christmas cards and Christmas carols and all those things that we love about Christmas to remind us to long for Jesus, long for his coming and the renewal that he brings. So if you haven't put your Christmas tree up just yet, maybe wait. You don't have to, but maybe try it. Or decorate it slowly over the course of Advent. Maybe set up your nativity scene just a piece at a time. Maybe wait, prepare, and long for Christmas Day, when the joy and celebration and light brings forth. Maybe even do some fasting. Not quite the time of year we think about fasting. Allow yourself to experience longing and make space for God to meet you in that place. So let us cast off consumption and embrace holy longing. Even as we wait and long for renewal, this Advent let us cast off busyness and embrace preparation. It's easy to be busy, but it's hard to be prepared, at least in the way Scripture shows us we should be prepared for Christ's coming. In the gospel passage that Jay read for us today, Jesus tells his disciples to be always on the watch, lest the day of the Lord, that day of judgment, fall upon them like a trap. Now, I know this Luke passage, you might know, it's notoriously tricky to interpret, and I'm not going to give a comprehensive overview. At some points, it seems like Jesus is warning about the destruction of Jerusalem. At other points, he seems to be pointing a lot further ahead. It's kind of all intertwined. But I think that reading this alongside other portions of Scripture, we can safely say that we, like the disciples, are to be prepared, to be awake and ready for Jesus to come. So what does it look like to be prepared for that day? I think we get a glimpse of it in what Paul prays for the Thessalonians in the epistle passage, for their love to increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, and for them to be blameless and holy before God. Oh, that's all. That's, again, why we take time during Advent to reflect on our lives, to reflect on the places where we're not prepared, to repent of the places that are still darkness in our lives. It takes time and open space to do that. Two things that are highly lacking during this time of year, aren't they? It takes intentionality to give ourselves space to reflect. Fourth point, cast off distraction and embrace attentiveness. Cast off distraction and embrace attentiveness. Even though it takes a little effort, it's worth it. Maybe make an effort to do fewer things this Advent, to embrace simplicity rather than excess. Again, these are just suggestions, ways to enter in. If we don't take time, Advent and Christmas will fly by without changing us one bit. Let's open up our hearts and our lives so that God can speak to us and work in us as individuals and as a community, so that Christ is more and more present in this season, not crowded out by the noise and the clutter. Again, as Jesus told his disciples, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. I guess we could say Christmas cookies and shopping and all that kind of stuff. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. This warning is for us too. Now, there have been a lot of babies born into our congregation in the past couple of years, most recently to Blaze and Eileen last weekend. Now, I don't have firsthand knowledge of this, but from what I understand, when you're pregnant, you spend quite a bit of time preparing for the arrival of your baby. You take birthing classes. You have checkups with the doctor. You notice the signs as your due date approaches. You are uncomfortable and finally really, really ready for the baby to arrive. You keep a suitcase packed so you can rush to the hospital when the time comes, for you don't really know exactly when that baby's going to come. You can read the signs, but it still remains a mystery. Now, I suppose you could go through your pregnancy without doing all of that. That would leave you pretty unprepared when the baby came. So I think you can see where I'm going here. If we prepare in that way for the arrival of a child in our lives, how much more ought we to prepare our hearts and our lives for Jesus to come? Next, this Advent, let us cast off fear and embrace joy. Look with me at the gospel passage once again. Jesus talks about a lot of scary things that will be signs of the day of the Lord, echoes of the language the Old Testament uses about that day of judgment. You can see that in verses 25 through 27. So some of those things, especially the roaring and the tossing of the sea given Hurricane Sandy that we just had, some of these things sound familiar to us, and I think it's not without reason that every generation thinks they will be the last. I came across this quote from Martin Luther. I do not wish to force anyone to believe as I do. Neither will I permit anyone to deny me the right to believe that the last day is near at hand. These words and signs of Christ compel me to believe that such is the case. For the history of the centuries that have passed since the birth of Christ nowhere reveals conditions like those of the present. There has never been such building and planting in the world. There has never been such gluttonous and varied eating and drinking as now. Wearing apparel has reached its limit in costliness. Who has ever heard of such commerce as now encircles the earth? There have arisen all kinds of art and sculpture, embroidery and engraving, the like of which has not been seen during the whole Christian era. So that was Martin Luther a few hundred years ago. So how are we to react when we see things that scare us, things that seem to point toward the end? How are we to react to the evils that we see around us, to the Hurricane Sandys and the turmoil in the Middle East and around the world? Are we to faint from terror, as do others around us? No. We are to stand up and lift up our heads, knowing that our redemption, our salvation, the renewal of all things is drawing near. It's not that we don't work to fight evil and injustice, but we're not to be afraid of what we see around us. For greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. Advent is a time to rejoice that the promises of the Lord are fulfilled, are being fulfilled, and will be fulfilled, even if it takes longer than we thought. Advent is a time to take joy in one another and in the blessings God has given us. So even as we long for Christ to come, recognizing that we need him, we have faith and take joy in knowing our salvation is sure and certain, that we have a Savior and a true and good King. So we are to cast off fear and embrace joy. Number 6. In Advent, we are to cast off isolation and embrace community. Again, that's what Paul's telling his Thessalonians to do, to love one another, to be together. I think we encounter God best through one another. That was part of what we talked about in Core at 9 this morning. So let us wait together, rejoice together, long together, prepare together, worship together, bask in the growing light together, for that is what it means to be the people of God. Advent is also a good time to turn outward and remember those who are in need. That's why we have boxes out there to collect clothes for Love, Inc. and for Jonathan's organization. Things like that are always needed, but part of preparing our lives for Jesus involves ministering to the poor, giving back to those who are in need. I love this prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten, or the hope of the poor be taken away. Let's pray that, but let's participate in fulfilling that prayer. Think about all the money each of us will spend on gifts and food and parties during this time. What if we were to add all of that up and then give an additional 10% of that to people who need it most? What if we were to tithe on what we actually spend on the holiday? That could be a good discipline for us, for some among us, a way to free us from the cares of the world, those cares that Jesus mentions, and shake us out of our selfishness and into love for one another. I know it's hard, but what better way to understand how much God has given us and how much Jesus gave up on our behalf than to give freely and abundantly to others? In Advent, we are to cast off isolation and embrace community. And finally, number 7, this Advent season, let us cast off sentimentality and embrace the great story. See, Advent and Christmas aren't about cute manger scenes and heartwarming Hallmark shows. I saw a website this week that basically lists or has pictures of various kind of bizarre nativity scenes. Everything from, you know, Jesus as a little baby carrot to each of the characters as hamsters and ducks, every animal you can imagine. There's even one made out of Spam. Ew, yeah, that's the reaction I had. That's not what we want. That's not what it's about. Advent is about the very story that we tell every week. That story that takes us through the depths of sin and evil and into the ultimate triumph of God through very unsentimental blood, agony, death, and resurrection. It's the story that Jesus completes and the story that points us to him as the fulfillment of all God's promises. See, this is why I love the Lessons in Carols service so much. It will be held next week. It takes us through the story that gives our lives meaning, that gives Christmas meaning, that gives Advent meaning. The story we are swept up into as we follow God, and the story we proclaim each week when we shout, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. This is our story, our history, our past, our present and our future identity. This is why we don't rush over Advent. In order to know the joy and the celebration of Christmas, we need to enter into the longing. In order to understand who we are in Christ, we need to know and embrace our story. So this Advent, I encourage us to cast off sentimentality and embrace the story. So that's all 7. I've given us a lot today, but we have 4 whole weeks to think about it. My prayer is that God will meet me and each of us in powerful ways during this season of waiting and longing, that we will have the patience we need to sit in the tension between already and not yet, and the strength to resist the frenzy around us in order to proclaim a better, truer way. That even as the light from the Advent candles grows brighter and brighter each week, our longing for God's presence and for the day of restoration will grow stronger and stronger, and so will our joy. So now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us this Advent. May the Lord make our love increase and overflow for each other and for all those around us. May he strengthen our hearts so that we will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. In the words of one of my favorite songs, "Even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come." Amen.